What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular weekday afternoon. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Today on The Grave Talks, the historic Wolf Hotel and what's below, a conversation with paranormal investigator and historian Amanda Coutts. Beneath the charming streets of Ellenwood, Kansas, lies an abandoned underground city. Once bustling with businesses like brothels, bars, gambling establishments, barbershops, and even a harness store, this late 1800 city was connected by a network of well-built tunnels, many of which you can still explore today. And my sister Kathy and I did just that. We toured the tunnels and the historic Wolf Hotel, a beautiful and storied building that sits atop the tunnels. While the hotel is a treasure trove of history, it's also a hotspot for the paranormal. Urban legend speaks of spirits wandering the tunnels, including the ghost of a man who tragically took his own life in the hotel dining room in 1927. Though much of this underground world remains hidden from the public, the sections that are open offer a unique and slightly eerie glimpse into Ellenwood's intriguing past. My sister and I both love history and the paranormal, so our day trip to Ellenwood was fun, informative, and a little bit creepy. Today on The Grave Talks, the historic Wolf Hotel and what's below it, with Amanda Coutts, paranormal investigator and historian with the Wolf Hotel.
So I'm going to show you this really quick. That would have been the tunnels all the way down Main Street.
So were the tunnels built when Ellenwood, the downtown, was built at the same time, pretty much?
Well, yeah, it was kind of integrated a little bit.
Okay.
Because this was from southern Germany, like Bavaria and stuff like that. They actually came over here, so it tells you about these people. So this area in Kansas started to be settled in the 1860s, actually. The reason folks began settling the area is because of the Santa Fe Trail, which passed directly through Ellenwood. About 1871, a trading post was established here, and in 1872, we had a post office, and the town was named Ellenwood. Now, there was a gentleman who came through. His name was John Ellenwood. Some people called him Father Ellenwood. He was here for about 2 months, and then he left, and they named the town after him.
Well, he must have been a great guy.
I guess. I mean,
remember when Ellenwood was here? That was when it was fun. Yeah.
I mean, he pretty much just established and
we miss him.
Because he pretty much established, and then that was it. And then I'm sure they were like, "Where did Ellenwood go?" It was noticed that traffic on the trail was slowing down because railroads were beginning to come through. So in the mid 1872, George M. Jackson was an agent for the Arkansas Valley Town Company. Platted the town of Ellenwood, actually. It was a 1 square mile and 2 block district. And today, we are still a 1 square mile and 2 block district.
Wow. So,
all the way from 1872. Yep. Nothing changed. Yep.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, huh? While this was going on, land agents were being sent to Europe to get settlers to actually come to Kansas. They had brochures, you know, telling the Europeans all about, you know, our lovely state here. Among other things, they said, well, the winter seldom gets cold and maybe a light dusting of snow, you know, twice a year. They also said that it rarely got above 85 degrees in the summer. We had 9 feet of topsoil and hard groves of hardwood trees, you know. So, yeah, they, you know, everybody was like, oh, it sounds wonderful. They also said that the air smelled of champagne. They may have exaggerated just a little bit, but they were also offered 160 acres of land as well. So, of course,
That was the incentive.
Exactly.
And then they found out the real truth when they got here.
Exactly. Exactly. So the earliest settlers in Ellenwood were actually English-speaking Protestants. The majority of the settlers here in Ellenwood were from southern Germany, like I said, Bavaria and stuff like that. Where the silos are today, southwest of downtown, was where the Wolf Brewery came up, which was the family who built the hotel as well. Ellenwood got his train depot, and then things just took off from there. Since our settlers were coming from southern Germany, the town was constructed somewhat like the towns in Bavaria. All of the buildings along Main Street had basements, and in southern Germany in particular was the way you would access business, is in the basements. So they actually built a staircase on the outside, and you would just go down the staircase. It was their tradition, so that's why we had tunnels in Ellenwood. It turned out to be a good idea, actually, because in the 1870s and 80s, there were probably at least 100 wagons spread out on the Santa Fe Trail that were still coming through. Rail workers were coming through. All these men were passing through. In the early part of the 70s, we had cattle drives coming up, so there would be 3 to 5 teamsters and stuff like that. So they would just hitch up their horses and head on downstairs. So in the 1880s and 90s, we counted up to 11 saloons in their 2-block Main Street. Yep.
Crazy.
But you would also have found bootmaker shops and hat shops and barber shops and bath houses, you know, maybe a brothel or two. Spend their money, gamble, drink, whatever they were going to do, and then they would leave the next day. In 1920, the city actually put up the brick streets that you see here today. They also took up the old wooden sidewalks because they had wooden sidewalks down Main Street here. And they would actually pry open the sidewalks and pour coal down the chute, and then they would bang it back down. So I'm going to show you underneath as well.
It's going to be cool.
So yeah, it'll be really cool. By the end of the 70s, the new sidewalks were actually getting old from the 20s, you know, when they laid down the concrete ones in the 20s, because they pulled up the wooden ones, laid concrete down, and then they were getting old as well. So in the 70s, they had to redo the sidewalks again. By this time, the city actually decided that they were going to get rid of the tunnels in the 1970s. They went downstairs and they bricked up all the doors and windows, brought in tractors, broke up all the sidewalks, crashed them down in the tunnels and filled them with sand and gravel, and then they put down the new sidewalks. This lady named Adriana Deerhoff actually was very upset. She was the owner of what's called the Dick Building. So what she did was actually put this on the historical register so they would not touch it. She actually spent $100,000 of her own money to save this. When you go across the street to the Wolf Hotel, there's actually a stretch that goes on the highway side. This was preserved because it was under land maintained by the state of Kansas, and the city didn't care if someone fell into the Kansas side, so who cares, right? Okay, so we are going to go into the back of the building here. This is where the harness shop did all their metal work. So they did all their metal work up here, and they did all the harnessing down below. So they would do their woodwork and their leather work and stuff like that. So this is actually the original steps from the 1800s.
You can tell.
Yep. This is...
And it looks like the original door.
So when we get downstairs, you're actually going to see a forge, a little engine, and some other tools which would have not been used underground because there were no open flames below. So the metalwork was actually done up here.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're going to go down here. I'm going to show you Thomas Drake's harness shop. So.
This gave me the goosebumps as soon as I walked down here.
I bet you did. I get a lot of activity down here.
Do you? Because you can, as soon as we walk down here, I'm like, whoa.
Yep, I get activity.
What kind of activity do you get down here?
So I have asked for Thomas Drake a couple of times. I have seen a black shadow as tall as that beam standing right there. Mm-hmm. I've seen him just right here, very, very tall. I've had a worker, a staff member, who has actually seen a man look over at him and turn and go up the stairs, and he had a feather in his hat. And he saw him just go up the stairs. And he was like, I can't even explain it. And I said, so it was an apparition. He goes, full-bodied apparition.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes. So that, I am not surprised. As soon as I walked down here, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
So we just recently, a couple of times, we have been talking about what's called the dirty dove or soil dove prostitute. Mm-hmm. Her name is Gertrude. We have been talking about her right here, and I had a cat ball sitting right there at the harness thing here, and I said something about the dirty dove, and that ball went off.
Really?
Yep.
I am not surprised.
Yep. Pretty crazy. And I actually have a video of it, so I will show you a video of it. This is Thomas Drake. This is his shop in 1887 when the current building was new. The foundation walls that you see here are probably older than the building above and are constructed all the way down Main Street. This sort of pinkish colored limestone that you see here, we believe it was actually curried from La Crosse, Kansas. So it was hauled about 60 miles. Just about everything in this room is actually original. When Tom Drake retired in 1920, he sold off his merchandise, having had retail space in the front of the room. The shed upstairs was torn down, and some tools like the forge, this little engine right here, were moved to the basement, and Tom put a padlock on the door and walked off and left everything. Adriana's grandfather never re-rented this space, and she found all of this in the 1960s when she inherited the building. I love this part. This is one of my favorite parts of Adriana. She used to tell the story that as a little girl, she always wanted to see what was in the basement, but her grandfather said, no good girls go in the underground of Ellenwood.
Oh.
So as soon as her uncle had passed away, guess what the first thing she did
was? She came down here.
Cut that lock off. I said, that's exactly what I would have done too. The two items on the southwest wall here are kind of interesting. They were not used in the harness shop, but came from the basement of a furniture store across the street from Mangledorf's. They are actually called cooling tables, and they are from the local mortuary.
They look like from a doctor's office or something.
Furniture stores and mortuaries went hand in
hand. Hand in hand. They absolutely did, yep. They are sloped, so you could actually drain the body fluids, and are pierced, so ice blocks could be placed under the bodies.
Oh.
The one in front particular is a nice one, dating all the way back from 1886, actually. So that's from 1886. That one could actually be folded up like a suitcase, and they could take it to a farmhouse in the event you were embalming somebody on their back porch or having visitation in the parlor. Yep, so both cooling tables are from our local mortuary here in Ellenwood. Door on the east wall in front of you where the public would have entered retail part of the harness shop, actually. So they would have came through from the outside, because we're going to go underneath the sidewalk here in just a second.
Ooh, we're going out that door.
Yes, we are. There are actually two thresholds, so be careful when we go through. So I'm going to take you to the tunnels here. This tunnel would have gone two blocks to the north and would have looked just the same on the other side of the main street, so it would have looked exactly the same on the other side. You will notice that the tunnels are divided down the middle by a brick wall. That was the wall that had five lockable doors. This side of the tunnel originally had wooden partitions creating five small lockable rooms where the merchants could store their coal. So coal was actually very expensive because they would not have had wood because there wasn't that many trees around at that time. So everybody had to order coal, you know, off the train and stuff, and it was pretty expensive. In 1920, when the city put in the concrete sidewalks, the merchants were still using coal bins, but they put in these manholes that you see right here. The coal could have been dropped through. Mm. That way, you know, they would still have coal going. In the 1970s through the 80s, when the city filled in the tunnels, they put down the current sidewalk that you see today. Adriana had them save these manholes. So, this is awesome. 1920s manholes, 1980s sidewalk, and 1870 tunnels.
Right here.
Isn't that crazy? This is one of my favorite stories as well, when I take you through here. So the other side of the walls where men actually would walk up and down the street. Originally, there were wooden sidewalks on that side, so if we did get wet, you wouldn't be walking in the mud. The light would shine through the windows and doors so you could actually see where you were going. You may have noticed on the other side of the tunnel, this is considerably narrower, you know, than the coal bin side. So we're going to head south through the tunnel here. When you get to the end, you will find a slight downhill slope where they may have originally had been a step, but there isn't one now. It just kind of slopes down. To the left, you will see where the tunnel went under Main Street to Weber's Saloon in the basement of the Wolf Hotel, which I'm going to take you over in a little bit. One of our 11 saloons that we had here.
11.
The tunnel then continued to the train depot, and we were told that the tunnel to depot allowed salesmen to bring their goods from the train to the sample room in the basement of the hotel where they would have set up to take orders from local merchants. Straight ahead, you will actually see a concrete wall where we believe the tunnel went under the Santa Fe Trail to commercial buildings. And to the right is one of the 8 stairways, which you would have brought you down into the walk space. The stairs are concrete, but would have originally been made of wood, you know, until the 1920s when they did all the concrete. So in 1920, when the city put in the concrete sidewalks, that's how the current sidewalks are, or steps are now. And then we're going to make a sharp right to the barbershop. So I'm going to show you all this.
Cool.
Yeah, as you
Ooh.
See, it slopes down. See? It would have went straight through into Weber's. But then here we have the sidewalks. This would have been one of the outside sidewalks that you see right here. So you're going to take this sharp right, and you're going to head on into Mr. Young's barbershop. This is his barbershop.
It's so funny to me that you would have the option of being upstairs where you'd get natural light, and but people opted to have their business down here where it's so dark.
The men did, you know, the cowboys and stuff like that, they would have done. So.
Well, you got to remember, it's been cooler down here.
Yes.
Cooler down here. They could have been more private down here.
Very private.
Nobody's walking by judging them.
Well, and... You know, in the cowboy days, you know, the townsfolk didn't want all that riffraff. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they're going to bring them, you know, down here where nobody's going to bother them.
And look over here, Kath. There's, I don't know if that was wallpaper.
Yes.
They just painted it on.
You can actually see it still right there. That actually is the original wallpaper from the 1800s. Yes. So this is actually William Young's barbershop. Mr. Young was a man of German descent who came to Ellenwood in 1882. He moved into the space in 1887. We have a picture of Mr. Young right here behind me in the barbershop. We are to believe it's about 1900. So that is Mr. Young actually in that picture. Mr. Young was a prominent businessman here in Ellenwood, and his big claim to fame was that he was our band leader. Now, I have something really cool to tell you about that as well. I had a paranormal investigation down here, and we turned on the spirit box, and band music was playing as soon as we turned it on.
Really?
And the lady who was with me, I didn't tell her anything about Mr. Young at all. And she said, "Was that band music I heard?" I said, "Funny you should say that." So, yeah, she heard band music playing. So, yeah, I didn't even say anything to her about it. She didn't even know. So actually, this trumpet right here was to believe that that was Mr. Young's trumpet. Yeah, that was his. That's what they think. He had a very nice shop with hardwood floors and wainscoting as milled cypress. The upper walls were all originally plastered and wallpapered. There would have been lanterns hanging all around the room, so it would have been nicely lit. In the summer, it's about 10 degrees warmer, but it's very welcoming in the summer as well. This is exactly how it feels in the summertime, so it's pretty
nice. Oh, I bet. I bet.
Very nice. Barbers were actually known as barber surgeons. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Yes, they actually practiced medicine as well. They would pull teeth, bleed people, and do other medical work. Well, Mr. Young was a German-trained barber, so when he arrived here in Ellenwood in 1882, he was also still practicing medicine. He kept leeches in this jar right here that you see on the counter. If you had a wound on your arm or leg, he would have taken a leech and stuck it on that wound and sucked the blood and get the circulation going. Leeches are actually still used in hospitals today, which I did not know. But yeah, you actually put them on skin grafts. So this actually was the laundry and bathhouse, you know, for everything. Originally, we probably had about 10 tubs, which is right here, 10 of these 10 tubs here. But in 1905, the city put in water tank that we actually still have today. It's from 1905. And that is when plumbing would have come into the building. So these clawfoot tubs that you see right here and this porcelain sink, that's when they would have arrived.
Okay.
So this is from the 1880s. This is from 1905. Mr. Young probably hired some boys here in Ellenwood to work for him down here. One of the boys' jobs would have to go next water, or next door. Do you see, remember that water pump that you saw in the corner? Yep, they would have pumped water out of that bucket after bucket and had buckets piled up right here by this wall here. And then they would carry them over, stack them up. The second boy would have worked here at the laundry and the stove, and that was his job, you know, go get coal bins, make sure there was always warm water. The third boy would have been doing all of this right here as well. He would have been washing clothes and hanging them and mending. So Mr. Young really did have an operation going down
here. He really did.
Yeah. My boyfriend and I came home, and the speaker of the radio was blaring. And he was turning up and down the volume of the TV because we keep the TV on for our dog.
Sure. Get it.
You know, for anxiety and stuff, you know. So he's turning the volume up and down on the TV, and that's not working. And I'm like, I said, why is this blaring? I said, why is the radio or the stereo on? And he goes, the stereo's not on. It was black. There was nothing. There was music coming through the speaker, but the stereo was not on. I said, how is this possible?
This shouldn't be happening.
My mind is still, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it.
Do you have
it
other
because,
things that happen at the
house? Oh, yeah. We have stuff that happened. Yeah. The dog actually was sitting, let's see, I'm trying to think of where she was sitting at. She was sitting in the living room. She was just kind of, oh yeah, because we had the heater still, because we put on heaters as well, you know, kind of keep it nice so that we can keep the bills down for the actual heater. So she was sitting there and she kind of like got up like this and she stepped back by the kitchen and she was just staring. And I was like, Cleo, what's going on? I look and there's this dark shadow that goes like this. And I was like,
do you live in an older house here? Or
no, it's not. That's why I don't understand. I probably brought something home with me.
Well, brought it with you.
Yeah. This was actually, this is the Historic Wolf Hotel. It was built in 1894 by Mr. John Wolf right here. He built it for $10,000, and we always say no successful businessman is not without his wife, and that's M.K. Wolf. We believe it's Mary Catherine. So this actually encompassed many businesses over the years. It's a hotel, a bank, and then below us we have three storefronts and tunnels intact as well. What Adriana did not know, she only knew about the tunnels, but she didn't know about this side until, you know, later years, and they found out that there were tunnels over here as well. So it was a surprise to the people of Ellenwood that, oh, there's tunnels over here too. So when Adriana was running that, there was somebody else over here that was running a business, so nobody toured through here when Adriana was running over there. So pretty crazy. So I always ask people, do you know what this was, you know, utilized as? And a lot of people say a bank, because the vault usually gives it away. We have a counter over here. We have a counter in back as well. And then the brown door to your right was the bank president's office. And then when we go through here, you're going to see a second vault. It's a safety security box. So we have two vaults here, actually. So there were two brothers who came here from Germany. Their last name was Bockemol, Edward and Leo. So Edward was the bank president and Leo was the teller. An auditor came in so that there was money missing. A lot of money was missing. So they actually arrested Edward right there on the spot, and they closed the Bank of Ellenwood. Leo wasn't present when this happened, but people didn't know what they were going to do. There's no FDIC. There's no insurance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's 1908. You know, now what are we going to do? We trusted these men. We trusted our banker. Everybody trusts their banker. So now what? Thankfully for Mr. John Wolfe, he actually got some prominent businessmen together, and 3 months later, they reopened it, but under a new name. It was now People's Bank instead. So I'm going to take you through here, and I'm going to tell you a little more about the brothers. So Leo actually, when they found Leo, because he was not there when they closed the Bank of Elmwood, he actually was on his front porch. Waiting for him, and he wasn't going to go with him. He actually committed suicide right there on his front porch. So when they figured it all up, it was about $35,000 that had been embezzled. So
it's a lot of money back then.
A lot of money. We figured it up today to be $1.1 million today.
Wow.
Is what it would be. Now, when they did all the repossessions, Leo had a nice home. He had heads of cattle, a couple businesses here and there that he dabbled in. It was not enough to recover what was taken. It was just gone. So, thankfully, Mr. John Wolfe got things rolling again, you know, and made the town good again. So, we were very thankful John Wolfe, you know, could do that for everybody. So, yeah. Just south of us, you can actually see the railroad tracks right here.
Mm-hmm.
So in inclement weather, you could have actually gone off on the depot, gone in the tunnels, and came up into the lobby. This room had been rented. Everything was going to be sold off and liquidated. This was going to sit empty as well. That's when Bill Starr comes in the picture. He actually wanted to save history. He loved history as well. He wanted to save this hotel. So, he buys a Wolf Hotel. He goes home and tells his wife, "We bought the Wolf Hotel." Yeah, I can't imagine that conversation. But they spent their living quarters upstairs, which we do have 5 rooms here that we do rent out. And this whole floor was actually an antique store for over 40 years.
Okay.
So he ran this for over 40 years. And just a tiny bit of storage below, so nobody actually stepped foot below for over 40 years. The construction in 1894 actually ended right here at this brick wall that you see right here. And of course, Mr. John Wolfe, you know, was getting on in years as well. So he looked to his only son, Fred Wolfe, to take over the hotel. So then he decided he wanted to make a stamp of the hotel. So he decided to build Barton County's most beautiful dining room. So I'm going to take you in here.
It is beautiful.
Absolutely, yes.
Especially back in the day in this little town, having this nice of a room.
Yep, the construction actually started in 1923 is the construction that started. So it opened Easter of 1924. The hotel is 130 and this is 100. So it has the original terrazzo flooring, the tin ceiling is original, all the lighting fixtures you see are original, the wheat and sunflower casts are also all original. We were standing in here while she was talking to me, and I said, what is, oh, you need to go in? In here with her, talking to her, and I said, "What do you see?" And she goes, "Through here, through this window right here." She says, "I see a gentleman in period clothing go from the lobby into the dining room."
Yeah.
And I said, "You actually see him?" She says, "Yes, I actually physically see him."
And
I said, more than one occasion.
Yes, she says she has seen him several times. And I said, "What does he look like?" I said, "You actually see him?" And she says, "Yep." She goes, "He's wearing a hat. He looks like he's in a business suit." And she said, "He goes really fast." But she sees him go like that really fast. And she says numerous times. She says, "I can't tell you how many times I've seen him do it."
It almost sounds like a residual over and over and over.
I think it's a residual, yes. Because if he's on a loop like that, maybe he doesn't realize he's gone. Because residual really does, they is everyday life.
Yeah, but this one might have impacted him because it might be him going in to commit suicide. Like,
possibly.
Gonna have this nice meal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep, possibly.
Well, and he had his mind made up that day what he was going to do.
What he was
going to
do.
Right. And I don't ever have any, that's why I'm saying I feel kind of comfortable in that room because I don't ever have any kind of like talk back. or anything like that. I've never had talk back in there. So that's why I think, yeah, I think he's on a loop.
Mm-hmm.
So if she sees him constantly like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is put a camera up one night and just kind of point it here at the dining room and see if I catch anything.
That'd be interesting.
Because I haven't done it yet because I'm still waiting on I wanted to get an IR camera and I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of waiting for that. Actually use this space for his workshop when he was working here.
And who did you say again?
Bill Starr.
Okay.
The one who ran the antique store.
Okay.
He actually used this for a workspace, so he never really used this as a kitchen. So when I say for over 40 years, nobody went downstairs, only Bill Starr did. He was the only one that went downstairs. No one else did. There is a cook in here. They named him Sparky. Now, I've never done an investigation in here because it's loud. I wouldn't be able to get any quiet in here if I tried. So I have not investigated in the kitchen yet because of the noisy refrigerators. But I have a staff member who says, as she grabs a pot, when she's cooking, we do every third Sunday of the month. We do meals, you know, like chicken dinners every third Sunday of the month. So when she's in here cooking, preparing, she says, I have a hot pot, Sparky. Don't scare me. So I don't know the story behind Sparky, but we do have a picture of him. So I have a picture. I have two pictures of him, actually. One in human form and one in spirit form. So I'm going to show you guys that when we come back upstairs. Okay. I'll show you Sparky. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, this must be, is this where the speakeasy?
Yep, on the way. Oh, I forgot to tell you about that. Sorry. I always tell people to pay attention to that stained glass window. See that?
Mm-hmm.
That actually has a knocker on the other side. So you could have knocked on the door, said your code, and come on down to the speakeasy and prohibition days. So, yep. We actually do put that black partition that you see. We actually put that up to block the kitchen. So people, there is a black awning on the other side. This is the underground. So you can come through that door, down the stairs, into the tunnels, and into the saloon, just like you would in Prohibition days. So I'm going to take you through here. There's some step ups and step downs, so be careful. The boards are a little wonky as well when we walk on them, so be mindful of that too.
So this originally was storefronts again down here.
Yes.
Isn't this something?
This actually is underneath the sidewalk now.
Good.
And behind you runs the highway. And you would be coming Main Street looking into storefronts just like this one. So this is kind of a compliment to the other side because we still have storefronts intact over here so you can see what they look like in the 1800s.
Yeah.
This is actually a storefront from the 1800s. So yes, this is original. So if you would have headed directly west, you would have ran into me in the barbershop, or you could have curved around heading north down Main Street looking into storefronts just like this one. So this is actually called the drummer's room. This is where they would have drums of merchandise that would come off the train and they would bring it here. And the merchants could come and get their drums and sell their items out to the patrons. So basically wholesale is what we called it. So yeah. I just recently read as well as the Opera House had their costumes brought here as well. So I thought, how convenient, because they had tunnels as well. They could have just gone through the tunnels, grabbed their costumes, and then walked back over. Mm-hmm. Pretty convenient. So we have paranormal investigators that come from all over the world, and they spend a lot of their time in the drummer's room. This is actually staged up by Beth. It would not have looked like this, you know, back in the 1800s. But we leave this alone just like it is because they seem pretty happy with the way the room is. So we just don't touch it. The only time I do open this door is on paranormal investigations because during tours, the floor is kind of, you know,
yeah.
and I don't want to mess with anything, so I just leave it alone. I don't let a lot of people in, only on paranormal tours.
Do they get quite a bit of activity?
Yes, there is activity that goes on in here, absolutely. There is a lady who was on a tour one day from a phone company. It's like Nextel phone or something like that, and she was taking pictures, and she took a picture through this window over here. She sent a message to Chris. She says, I have something to show you. She says, I caught an image. And he thought, you took a picture of your own reflection. That's right. What he thought.
Sure.
But he didn't tell her that, and he said, well, send it to me. So she sent this picture. And where I have it circled at, you can see the image. Mm-hmm. Do you see her?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a little girl in braids or pigtails.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was through this window onto this wall over here. We don't know where the little girl comes from, as the hotel staff at that point in time all had boys. Mm. So they don't know where she comes from. Now, I have had people tell me that there is a well behind this door back here is the boiler room, and there's a well back there. I've had people tell me that a little girl fell in that well. I've had people tell me that, but I don't know if that's true, because there's no hard evidence of that. But not everything is recorded. Right. You know, back in those times, not everything was recorded. So it's possible. I did get an EVP that said drowning.
Mm. Oh.
I've had that twice, actually. I also have another EVP that said she pushed. So I don't know. I also have told Chris, you do know that you don't have to die to haunt a place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he said, really? And I said, yes. I said, you do a lot of auctioning and antiquing yourself as well as Bill did. I said, you could have very well brought her with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Especially this being an antique store, for, and he stored everything down here.
Exactly.
For how many years did you say?
40 years.
Nobody else came down.
Nobody else came but just Bill. Yep.
You have to wonder.
Yeah. So, and then 2 days before Chris closed on the hotel, 2 days before he closed, Bill tells him it's haunted.
Oh.
So Bill
now,
knew.
Was he really surprised?
So Bill knew.
Yeah.
And Jim knew as well. Jim was really, really into the paranormal. So Jim really was.
But buying this place, you'd have to walk in and go, what are the odds of it being haunted?
Well, yeah.
Pretty high.
It's 90%.
It's a 100-year-old hotel.
Right, exactly. Think about it.
Plus, back in the 1800s, there were cowboys that came down here.
Mm-hmm. I was walking around in here. You'd think that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. So, also in the boiler room, I don't tell people on the history tour, but I do on the paranormal tour. This used to be a sundown town. Now, if you know what a sundown town is, there were people who were of color that were not supposed to be out after a certain time. Otherwise, you get shot. There was a black man that was out in the alley, and he got shot. And they wanted to bring him in the hotel, and they said no. Because he was black. So what they did was they took him to the boiler room, and he did not last the night. So there's no name.
Sad.
No name. We don't know his name. I call him Bubba because all the staff calls him Bubba. He seems pretty happy with it. So that's just what I call him. My mom has been here with me. She says his name is George. I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'm still going to call him Bubba because he seemed pretty happy. I did an EVP session. I said, so I hear the staff calls you Bubba. And he said, yes. He went, yeah, like that. Like,
oh,
yeah, they do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he seems pretty happy with it. I'm happy with it. I'm just going to call him Bubba. Mm-hmm. Now, I do feel a lot of stuff in this room. Yes, I do. But it's way more in the boiler room than in this room. But I also tell people, I have to tell you, it's not just this room. It is all through here, because I have stuff, stories all through here. So, not just this room. But yeah, it's kind of like a why me feeling is what it feels like. You know, when you're sitting there going, why me? Why did this happen to me? That's what it feels like.
Well, who knows? He could have been outside for any number of reasons. It could have been an emergency. He needed help or he needed something. And then they just saw him.
Well, in the play, they actually do depict him in the play. They actually do put him in there. And I don't know if the story is true or not, because I don't know how much research they've done, because I can't find anything on him except for one thing. And saying that he did own a car and that he was trying to get water for his car because it was overheated. And they wanted to know, hey, what are you doing out here, boy? You know, kind of thing. And then, yeah. So he was probably just minding his own business and he got shot. So I don't know who shot him. I don't know why. I don't know what I don't know the story behind it. But there is evidence that he was here, because Chris asked the people who ran the mortuary if there was any evidence of this black man. And they said yes. But I don't know the time period. And I want to know what the time period. Mm-hmm. I want to know what this looked like when he was in here. Yeah. I want to know everything. Because him and I have a connection. We have a really good connection. So I'm trying to talk more to him and have more conversations and trying to get the full details.
He would probably like his story to be shared.
Right. So I'm trying to get it out more, you know, than what has been told. But in the mortuary's logbook, it says tunnels.
Oh.
Is what it says. I can't stand it. As soon as Chris said that, I was like, oh my God. You know, it put me in shock. Because I was like, what a bunch of bigots. That's all I was thinking. So I want to know what's going on with his story.
Yeah.
So I can definitely tell people. Absolutely. So that's his story. That's where he sits. I don't tell people on the history tour about that at all. I only tell paranormal people, because that's a paranormal thing. So, like I said, we just leave it alone. This is exactly how the room stays. We don't touch anything.
Okay.
So it stays right just like that. Yeah. So I told you at one point in time there were 11 saloons here. And this is a German descent town, so what do Germans like to do?
Drink.
Drink beer. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to show you the saloon. Because we do have one. I went to go open this door up to turn the light on, and on the other side of this, I hear, hey. And then I was like, oh, hey. So, yeah. I don't take people back here on the history tour because it is a little fragile.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, it's a little fragile, but it is part of the tunnels.
Now, how often do you have this open down here to the public?
Friday and Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Every Friday and Saturday from 7 to 10 is how we do it. If it gets busier, we will stay open.
This is so cool. So this was one of the original saloons?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Wow.
Remember when I told you on the other side that cowboy said, I'm going to head on over to Weber's? This is Weber's.
Look at that.
Very cool. That cash register is actually from, if you know the movie Paper Moon.
Uh-huh.
That's from Paper Moon.
Oh.
That register is.
This makes me want to come have a drink here. This is so cool.
Everybody always asks me whenever I take them in the saloon, they're like, oh, can we have a drink? And I'm like, I'm not the bartender. So this is a picture of Mr. Weber right here. So he did the sunflower sample room. And I love his little poster. It says, all kinds of drinks, standard bottled goods, fresh cake, always on tap, imported and domestic cigars, drop down and see me under the Bank of Ellenwood, and his number is 9. Isn't that great?
I love that number.
Number 9. Just 9. And we are under the Bank of Ellenwood.
Okay.
So this is what you're under right now. This is the front door.
So when would this, what year would this have been?
So this was about the 1800s is when he was running this. If you look right here, I'm going to show you this real quick before I tell you about this. But see this, we laid down this wood floor out here. These actually swivel and pop out, and we will host bands back here.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's why that wood floor is there. We're going to call it Tunes in the Tunnels.
That's cool.
But of course, we don't learn from our mistakes. We don't learn from history because the sidewalks have to be redone again. Because they're deteriorating again. I mean, they're from late 70s.
Right.
80s, so they're
it's time.
It's time for them to be replaced. And Chris is trying hard to get everything going, raising money and everything like that, because it's taking a lot of money to do this, mm-hmm. a lot of meetings and stuff like that. So hopefully, yeah, the city said raise the money or we're filling in the tunnels.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Oh, wow.
So we're raising the money because we don't want these to be filled in.
No.
So, yeah. It's taken a lot to get it done. We're getting close to the where we're supposed to be at. They actually want to replace these, but carefully because it's on the historic register.
You so have to watch how you do
they
that.
They have to be very careful of what they do. Yes. Mm-hmm. So as soon as these are replaced, then we'll bring some bands in here and have some cool little concerts.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
The 40s on through to the 60s, Ellenwood actually did something they were really proud of. They actually made this and the adjoining room their very first public library.
Oh.
So, yeah, this used to be a library. That is the book drop in the window right there.
Sure.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
It actually does open. You can open it and close it.
Oh, yeah.
It. So that's the book drop. So it is still in the window from when it was a library. Isn't that cool?
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Amanda Kootz about the historic Wolf Hotel and the tunnels below. For more information on the hotel, visit thehistoricwolfhotel.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.